We're here for a purpose this morning, and our purpose is to worship an awesome God. So let's start with our call to worship, and it's taken from Psalm 5, verses 7 and 8. Let's say it together. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house, and I will bow down toward your holy temple in fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Psalm 5, 7 and 8. Let's pray. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the chance to come into worship. We thank you for salvation as well. Guide us today in all that we do, and above all, may you be honored and you glorified today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Will you please stand and join us as we sing this morning? We're just so happy that each of you are here today, and we're excited to praise the Lord with you.
Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus.
We're all together, together. rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. All your sons and your daughters dreaming the dreams of their father, seeing the signs and the wonders, the kingdom of God. Whoa, hear the sound from heaven. Whoa, a mighty rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. I cannot contain it, this fire inside. I cannot contain it, so let it shine. I cannot contain it, this light of mine. It's burning in my soul. Hear the sound from heaven. Whoa, a mighty rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul.
Amen. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil. I forgot to undo my transpose. I'm really sorry about that. Let's start that one again. And I did the last song wrong too, didn't I? Sorry. Let's start that again, because otherwise it's going to not go the best. Sorry about that. All right.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. I will fear no evil. a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you.
One more time.
Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Through the storm, oh no, you never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. Oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, you never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me.
Thankful that he never lets go of us, no matter what we're going through.
Good morning. You may be seated. Will you guys join your hearts with mine in prayer? Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the day. Lord, we thank you for the ability to come out and worship today in this beautiful building, Lord, with these beautiful people. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that. Father, we thank you for always allowing our cup to overflow. We thank you for always filling our needs, for answering our prayers, for always being there for us as a person to listen and a person who loves us no matter what. Father, we thank you and praise you for picking us up and dusting us off and always putting us back on the right path when we don't do the things that we should. Lord, we don't read our Bibles like we should. We don't say the things that we should. We don't do the things that we should. We don't read what we should. We don't watch what we should. But you're always there for us, Lord, and you correct us and put us back on that path. So we just thank you and praise you for that. Father, we think of our members of our church who are not with us today, who are sick or alien or shut in. Lord, I just pray that you would be with them today and touch them with your love and your grace and your mercy today to let them know that we're thinking of them and we miss them and we hope to see them again soon, Lord, and that you love them. Father, we think of our country. And Father, I just pray that we would just turn back to you. That our leaders would be focused back again on the true meaning of in God we trust, Lord, and just be with you. And Father, I pray for our community, Lord, that we would turn back to you also. Father, I want to take a minute to just thank you and praise you for the miracle of new life, Lord. Rachel and I were blessed to have little Addie at home, Lord, so we just thank you for that, Lord, and we know that there are many other births that are coming, Lord, so I just pray that you would be with them and just protect those people, Lord. Father, I take a moment to think of the Dellinger family with the passing of Chris, Lord, that the next few days are going to be very difficult for them, so I just pray that you would be with them. Surround them with your love, Lord, and allow them to know that things will be okay, Lord, in this trying time. Father, I take a minute also to just think of that if there's a revival that needs to start, that it can start right here in this building, Lord, that we can just be so on fire and so in love with you that when we leave this place, that people would approach us and ask us why we're smiling, why we're so happy. And then we can share your love with them, Lord, for you're the reason why we have all those things. Father, we think of the baby dedication that is about to happen too, Lord, and we just pray that you would have a blessing upon those families. We think of pastors who brings forth your word today, Lord. I ask that you move him out of the way and allow him to say the things that we need to say and need to hear. And then, Father, I pray that it falls on fertile ground and we can then apply it to our everyday lives. But, Father, we just thank you for always being there for us and always guiding us and directing us. So we just turn this time over to you. We ask for your blessing upon it. it's your name that we pray. And all God's people said, we'll extend you to worship with our giving of tithes and offerings.
I said many times we have some great musicians here in the church and a great worship team, and very thankful for that. At this time, we're going to be having our baby dedication, and so if the parents and the babies and all who will be standing up with you, will you come forward? Come on up. We're going to be dedicating Elsie, Maverick, and McKinley today. One more step back, huh? Napoleon once said that let France have good mothers and she will have good sons. The famous preacher Charles Spurgeon had two reasons why he was the way he was. He said the truth that he preached and his mother. Joshua, God's general, said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Solomon said, the teacher and instructor of wisdom, alluded to the fact that a wise father will lead his house spiritually. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 15 says, "Then the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' Then he placed his hands on them, and he went on from there." The family is a divine institution ordained of God in the beginning of time. Children are a heritage of God and are committed to their parents for care, protection, and training. It is important that all parents recognize their obligation, responsibility to God in this manner. Moses' mother, Jochebed, trained her child after she gave him to God. Hannah recognized her child was Jehovah's because she received him as from God. She believed that God could do more for him and through him than what she could do. So she gave him back to God while he was young and tender. Her son's name was Samuel, which means he was God's ask, because she prayed and God granted her requests. There are some mothers and fathers who are afraid to trust their children to God. Hannah was not afraid. She said, "As long as he lives, he shall be given to God." The New Testament says that Mary brought her young child Jesus to the temple. And now Jalen and Sierra Naus, Daniel and Dan Stowes, Anthony and Courtney Salisbury recognize the sacredness of their charge and now bring back to God the treasure which the Lord has entrusted them. They publicly acknowledge their responsibility for the nurture and admonition of this child in the ways of righteousness. Charge and some questions for you as parents. In the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses, do you promise to bring this child up to respect God? We do. Yeah. Okay. Do you promise to seek and to lead him or her to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord at a young age? Do you promise, as far as it lies, to set before him or her an example of a godly and consistent Christian life? You have named your children special names, the given name. The first one is Elsie. It's Scottish. It actually means a god. No, not a god. Oh, boy. Actually means my God is bountiful, or God of plenty. Maverick is kind of an interesting one. All I could find is when a 19th century American named Maverick refused to brand his cows, as others ranchers did, his name came to signify an independent man who avoid conformity. Oh, boy. Enjoy it. Another interesting one was McKinley. It's Scottish, means son of a learned ruler. Now, it's a girl. Where is she at? Right here. It's a girl, but recently, girls have taken over that name, because in 2011, it was one of the hottest names for the girls. But it means son of learned ruler. We can change it to daughter of learned ruler. To the Mount Tabor congregation, through his pastor, accepts a child in dedication and assumes the responsibility before God. In this view of this responsibility, I charge you all who attend that you will do all that you can to provide and support a place of worship and instruction in this community where this child should continue to live here, may hear the full counsel of God's word, and that you will be covenant together and set apart an example in your lives to maintain an atmosphere in your church to inspire the child to desire a Christian way of life, and that God shall remind you and you shall pray for him or her salvation. At this time, a video is going to be played. And at that time, as the video is playing, I asked the children or the parents to send some pictures of the children. And so you can see the pictures that were showing up here. But we will be praying. The elders are going to come, and they're going to be praying over the children, the elders that are here. And I will be praying over each child as well. So the elders, if you would come on up. I have decided to stay a little bit back away just to play it safe. I'm pretty much over this cold, but I just want to play it safe for you.
Like you do, I will do my
have three gifts that we're going to be giving you today. One is a white flower, and a Bible, and a certificate. Now to Elsie, McKinley, and Maverick, I present a white rose bud. It is small, pure, and spotless. My prayer is that the baby's soul will be pure and spotless and great at the great rapture of the church. The Bible. We present the Bible to you. The Bible needs to be your word as a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. 2 Timothy 3 says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correction, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We also gave you a certificate to remind you of this great day. Let us pray. Father, we come at this time and we continue to pray for our children. We place them and we place them into your hands. We thank you for Elsie and McKinley and Maverick. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just be with them, and may you touch them, and may they grow in their love for you. We thank you. Be with their parents. And Lord, I just pray you just continue to work in their lives. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I don't know what it is about Mercer County, but I've never seen so many babies and so many pregnant women in my life. I go to Walmart, and I think every third woman has a baby. And anyway, as many of you know, we're starting a new series in the church. We're going to be talking about prayer for the next month or so. A couple things that are happening. One of the things that is happening is I really want to emphasize prayer for you, and I really want you to get involved with our deeper prayer life. We're starting a 40-day prayer challenge starting at the 1st of June, going from June to July. There's a yellow sign-up sheet on the communication board, and I want to invite you to participate in that. Take a time of a 30-minute time of your day and give it back to God, and just to pray during that time. In about 2 weeks, we're going to be handing out prayer cards or a prayer list for you to go through during that time. Trust me, when I've done it, and which I've done a number of times, it just seems to go so fast because it's just between you and God. So I'd like you to participate in that. We're also going to be talking about the importance of prayer in the church as well. A praying church is a powerful church, you know that. A church that is praying is actually a church that's actually doing God's word. So, what I want to do today is I kind of want to talk to you about the Lord's Prayer. And this is going to be the guide for our sermon series that's coming up, is the Lord's Prayer. There's a couple reasons why we're doing the Lord's Prayer. Number one is Jesus told us to. Now, the Lord's Prayer is actually a guideline. It is not what you are to pray, but it is a guideline. And Jesus pretty much gives us, this is how you're to pray, and this is a guideline by which you could go through. Then, but another reason why we're doing it in the church and we're talking about it is, I'm going to be very honest with you, many don't know the prayer. Many don't know it because we've become biblically illiterate, even in the church. In the United States, we're very biblically illiterate, but even in the church, we've become biblically illiterate. And that's become one of my goals here, is to make sure that when these kids come to this church, when they graduate from high school and graduate out of this church, they know the Bible. And every once in a while, you'll see me get off the podium, and I'll go back there and during the worship time, and I'll be observing what's happening during children's church and Sunday school and whatnot. This is one thing I want you to know, parents, especially on this baby dedication Sunday. We got some pretty dedicated people here. And we have people here that really want your children to learn God's word. And I'm going to tell you, the first time I went back and saw Twyla during the children's church time, it's like, wow. I mean, these kids knew the Bible. They knew the chapters of the Bible. They're singing it. They're doing scripture memorization, all that is necessary for that. And so I, you know, if you don't send your kids to children's church, that's up to you, and that's your right. But I'm going to tell you, I'm very proud and impressed by what's happening there. Sunday school is the same thing. I'm seeing what's happening there. I also noticed something else, because we're going to be doing something next Sunday for Mother's Day. Men, bring a hanky for your wives. A little Kleenex. Trust me on this one. You guys have to trust me. But one thing I noticed in the Mother's Day presentation that we're going to be doing next Sunday is that my youth had Bibles that they were holding in their hands and they were using them. And I went, wow, well done, Kyle. Because that's what we got to do. We got to teach our kids this. And so that's why on Sunday mornings, that's one reason why we're doing the Lord's Prayer over and over again. It's because it's a guideline that God gave us, but at the same time, we need to teach it to us, because sometimes many of us don't even know what it is. So Jesus, when he was asked in Luke chapter 11, he was asked, how are we to pray? He prayed the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, he was asked, or he gave the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, and he prayed the Lord's Prayer. He basically said, when you pray, this is how you are to pray. So let's go to this, Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 13. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now you might be noticing that, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That was added later. But this is what Jesus actually said. So I want to look at this today, and I want to kind of dissect it, but I'm only going to take it in parts. So we're going to talk about the first part today, and then in a couple of weeks we're going to talk about the second part and the third part, the parts of a prayer that's so important. The first one is, who do we are addressing? Our Father. We're talking about God's character here. We recognize who he is. I like the word Father here. Notice it says, Jesus didn't say, our God that's unattainable, or our powerful being out there, or the big man upstairs, or anything else that I've heard. What he's saying is our Father. Because when you look at somebody who's a father, he has authority with intimacy. So, when I grew up, my dad was dad, right? You know, he has authority with intimacy, meaning he's attainable. Now, hear this, because this is so important, especially for you fathers out here. Many view God in relation to their earthly father. So like with my dad, he was distant. He was not there. He was angry a lot. I don't remember him laughing much, you know, and I really struggle with that in relation to God, because we're looking at God the Father. Well, God must be distant. He must not be obtainable. But we also need to understand that he is a good father and he is the best father. So he's the perfect father. So yes, he is intimate, can be intimate with us. How at the same time, he has authority. Hear that? We need to understand that God the Father has authority. So when we approach him, because he is intimate, but at the same time he has authority. I think the pendulum kind of swings from time to time, where we'll say, oh, God is intimate, and he accepts me, and he wants me to do absolutely anything I want, and he's going to love me irregardless. And then sometimes it swings all the way over here. He's the ultimate authority. He's going to smite you. Well, I think it's right in the middle. He's both. Do you remember the look that Dad used to give? Remember that? My kids still talk about this. He goes, Dad, we knew we went too far when you gave the look. And the look was... See, that was the authority of Dad coming out, but at the same time, intimacy, because I knew their name. And I knew where they lived. They especially knew that whenever they went after Mom. That's when the dad really came out. So I want to challenge you fathers in this one area. It is very important for you to raise your children in a way that is godly, because your children will transfer their view of you to God the Father. Now you might be saying, well, I didn't have a very good dad. My dad was distant, he beat me and everything else. You can change that. See, I vowed when I had my children, I said, I am going to be that dad that they all want to say, hey, they all want to bring their kids home and say, see what you got, but this is what I got. I want to be one of those dads that when I die, they're actually going to be crying at my funeral. Trust me, I've been a pastor for 30-some years, 30-some-odd years, but I'm going to tell you, I've been at funerals where they were glad that they were gone. See, I want to be that dad, so I changed it, and I said, we're going to stop this right now. They're going to have a dad that cares about them, but yet at the same time, they know they've gone too far. Parents, I want you to really think about that, especially you fathers, because you represent God to the children. So, our Father which art in heaven, do you know that your prayers actually go into the throne room of God? Psalms 141 verse 2 says, may your prayer be set before you like incense. Revelation 5:8 says, they were holding golden bowls filled with incense, which were the prayers of God's people. I went to a Catholic funeral one time, and I've only been to two Catholic funerals in my whole life, and I thought, here's the casket. The priest comes down, and he puts the incense in that little thing there, and they light it, and then they start going around the casket. And I thought to myself, I go, what? Why are they doing that? Well, one time I was able to eat with the Catholic priest, because I was actually part of the funeral, and I sat down with him. I said, can you please explain this to me? Why are they going around this casket with incense? He says the incense represent the prayers that are going up on behalf of this person. So the prayers ascending into heaven. When you pray, your prayers are going into heaven. Now think about this. Here we have the Milky Way galaxy, 100,000 light years apart. We are one of 100 billion stars, 100 quadrillion planets, and yet when we pray, our prayers actually go to the throne room of God, the God who created all of this. What a privilege we have to be able to do that. You ever been to the White House? Who's been to the White House? Okay, so I've been to the White House, and here's this building in the middle of everywhere, and it's surrounded by a fence to keep you out. And then there's a guard on the outside of the fence, and the guard's on the inside of the fence, and there's snipers all over the White House roof, all to protect the president. If I decide I want to go into the White House and I jump the fence, I'm going to be tackled. But when I pray, my prayers go into the throne room of God. You see that? The White House is designed to keep you out. God wants us to come in. So our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The status of God. The reverence of God. Our Heavenly Father is holy beyond comprehension. He is sacred. He is holy. And the Bible says that we're not worthy to be in his presence, but yet we can, because of the blood of Jesus, we can go into his presence through our prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. we need to understand who we are talking to. There's a parable here. Let me illustrate this to you. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus gives a parable. It's called the parable of the banquet. Let me read this to you because it's so important. Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. He then sent some servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. An oxen and fatted calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, and to one of his fields, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his army out and destroyed those who murdered and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, and the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there was not wearing wedding clothes. He said, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' And the man was speechless. And then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many were invited, but few are chosen.'" Here's the illustration. He's going to the wedding, and he didn't have enough respect and enough reverence to change his clothes. I think about this and how we approach God, because many times our pride gets in the way, and we'll call God the big man upstairs, or I'm going to talk to him. You are going to be talking to the God of the universe. You are talking to the man who created the heavens and the earth. Or not the man, the God who created the heavens and the earth. You are the one who, he is the one that is king of the Lord of the, he is the ultimate. If you were to go to the White House, you would at least take a bath. This week, I want you to prepare yourself. Keep in mind who you are praying to. I think that'll change your perspective on a lot. It might be the posture you're having. It might be how you approach him. But think about this. Hallowed be thy name. This holy God wants an unholy person speak to him. Amazing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's God's desire? God's desire is for his kingdom to come upon this earth. When we as human beings come to the realization that God wants what's best for us, not what we want, but what he wants is best for us, and that when we follow him, that's what produces pure joy. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That should be the desire of this church, is that we do the will of God in all that we do. Please understand that that one of the biggest dangers a church has, or even individual Christians has, is the word mine. My mind. Now, trust me, it is good to know that this is your church. And when I hear you say, "I go to Mount Tabor because this is my church," that's a great thing, because that produces ownership. You know, Mount Tabor is my church. But be very, very careful when "my" comes into place of "thee." Because we as a church should be working towards the kingdom of God and for his kingdom to come. And many times we allow "me" and "my" to get in the way of God's kingdom. And we might even justify it by saying whatever. But God's kingdom is the purpose of this church. So when we do stuff like T-ball, and we do stuff like Sunday school, and we do stuff like children's church, and we do stuff like worshiping, We're doing it for the glory of Almighty God. And no, it's not about you, it's about Him. And it's hard sometimes to separate that. But it's all about Him. For His kingdom to come. So when you hold that hymn book in your hand, is this for His glory and His kingdom? When we sing that hymn, is that for His glory and His kingdom? When we sing that song, is it for His glory and His kingdom? Or is it my preferences? No, it should be for His glory and His kingdom in all that we do. On earth as it is in heaven. So that glory, so that heaven will start today. Do you know, when you give your life to the Lord, eternity starts today. And it only gets better. You know that? When you give your life to the Lord, this is the closest to hell you'll ever be. Because you're going to go to heaven. On earth as it is in heaven, His goal is that all that we do and all we say brings Him glory and honor. And His goal is that He can bring a little bit of heaven on this earth. And that should be our prayer. So we're going to start this process in the next few weeks, and we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, we can go to Him and ask for that. But we also need to be forgiving as we forgive those who wronged us. So we're going to be looking at that in the next few weeks. I really want to challenge you in this whole prayer time. Examine your prayer time. Examine your prayer life. Are we revering God? And is He our Father? Or is He the distant man upstairs? May He truly become our Father. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank You for this day and chance for us to pray. And we thank You for that opportunity. We just pray that all that we do and all that we say and all that we are today brings You total glory and honor. And we pray that You'll help us to realize just how big You really are. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray.